Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode with the Four Elements. This is your boy Earth.
And this is Water.
And this is Wind. And tonight we're going to talk about prayer. So I just want to, before we begin, Just let everybody know that's listening to press 1 if you want to insert a comment or have a question. Again, we would certainly love your participation. But I want to begin tonight off with the definition of prayer, and then we'll begin our conversation after that. So would you indulge us, Water?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I am looking up the definition of prayer, which what I've got here says a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. I think I'm going to keep it simple, man, because, you know, they go into, different other types of versions of the definition. You know how there's like 12 different definitions for things, but I think that's a good one.
Right, exactly. And so where I really wanted to go with this conversation is shifting from begging to really celebrating and appreciating. You know, I find that a lot of us, for various reasons, but I think that what's been passed on to us by our parents and grandparents and others is an act of begging versus an act of celebration and appreciation. And I know that that Earth, you're clear about what I'm talking about, but I think that, and this is in total alignment with the law of attraction, right? What we've been talking about the last few weeks is about how to really attract the things that you want, the environment that you want, the life that you want. And it doesn't happen in a weak place of being. And I think that what we've learned, again, is an act of begging. You know, oh God, would you do this? If I promise never to do this if you give me this. You know, stuff like that. If you pay my bill, I promise never to, you know, buy 1,000 pair of shoes. You know, if you relieve this disease from me, I promise never to, you know, kiss Johnny again, you know. And it's really not about that. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. It's not in the Quran. It's not in any of the texts. But what is in the text, and again, what's in accordance to the law of attraction, is creating an atmosphere of celebration and creating an atmosphere of appreciation. And what I mean by that is that celebrating God, Source, Allah, Jesus, the universe, whatever you call your entity or your being, your father, mother, whatever you want to call it, you know, celebrating life, celebrating, you know, the blessings, the grace, the mercy that you've endured and that you've seen, and expressing appreciation for those things is really what prayer is all about. And I think that as opposed to begging every day, if you begin to celebrate life and appreciate life, then you'll actually find yourself in a better space mentally, a better space physically, and you'll find yourself actually attracting those things that you really want and feel that you deserve. And so I'll just stop right there and allow my brothers to insert their insight.
Yeah, this is your boy Earth.
Yeah, this topic as it relates to prayer can at times spark an interesting conversation. And it's all around how, you know, we have been trained around prayer. So depending on your religious or cultural and cultural background, you know, that really dictates, you know, how you pray and what you pray for and the result that's expected, whether the result is, you know, an impact or just, like you said, the result of getting your bill paid or something like that. So I can say from my experience with prayer, and that's, you know, coming from having studied and practiced, and or practiced, I didn't practice everything I'm going to say, from Christianity to Islam to Buddhism to, I like to call it indigenous spiritual systems. But just in this conversation, we'll say in a particular or a couple of African spiritual systems, you know, when it comes down to prayer, it looks different. However, the result, you will still get results. And for some people, prayer is worship. And I saw that, like, in that definition, it, you know, it's like asking for help from God or from an object of worship. And, you know, depending on your background and what you practice, you know, that worship piece can apply or it can't apply, or can or cannot apply, because within your Judeo-Christian-based religions, it is primarily worship of like some object, which for a lot of people it's the cross. If you look at Christianity itself, and if you look at some other more indigenous practices, it's really communing with and becoming one with, like, nature, ancestors, your ancestors and spirit, or that one God force, and not God as in how God is described within many religions, because all, you know, religions have their different perceptions and different ideas of God, and they're not the same across the board from what I've studied. But anyway, as it relates to prayer, I'm sitting here kind of thinking, so what should I actually say about the prayer piece? Because the way that I view prayer is going to be different. And I view prayer as in, you know, things that I don't have handled or I'm not able to handle, I will, you know, go to prayer around. But most of the time, it's not
asking for stuff from my perspective. Most of the time, it's just giving reverence to and the acknowledgement of, for the most part, and not really, I don't really ask for stuff all the time, because most things, I'm clear I can get that stuff handled myself. So I'll just stop right there for now, because I'm not sure how deep we should go in this conversation. So what you got over there, Water?
Yeah, man. You know, listening to what you say, I'm kind of in the same boat of, like, I mean, I'm sure if you ask, that's why we started off with the definition, because I'm sure if you ask 100 people on the street, what is prayer and how does prayer, I guess, how do they practice prayer, you know, what practical use of prayer in their life, I'm sure you would come up with a lot of different answers. I'm not going to say 100 different answers, but you come up with a lot of different answers, just because it really is different for different people. You know, what Wynn was describing about the, you know, about the begging, that's one particular way that people actually practically apply prayer in their life, in their lives. And, you know, I mean, hey, to each their own as far as I'm concerned. For me, the way that I actually practice prayer is, it's a little different, just because, I mean, that's why they call me Water. I'm just totally different than, you know, the average folk out there. But I actually express gratitude and almost get connected with, you know, we'll just call it the source, you know, some people, God, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I get connected to that right there, that thing, whichever you want to reference it to. And I just kind of really express gratitude for just really what I have, because I'm not a at times I live in a state of lack. So I'm not going to say I'm always in a state of abundance, but I just try to get connected to that plentifulness that I have in my life already. And I feel like just being in that state will kind of open me up to more of that. So that's kind of, you know, I almost like to always bring things back to the practical level. And, you know, that's just kind of how I actually practice it in my life, is just really expressing that gratitude for the things that I have in my life. And a lot of people miss some of the things that we can actually be thankful for, because we don't know a lot of stuff. We don't know a lot of stuff to be thankful for until we lose it. Like, you know, a parent, or really, I guess, just a family member or a friend or a limb or, you know, a job or whatever it is. You know, people talk slam junk about their job until they lose it. And then they're just like totally, totally just, you know, devastated and go on and on, you know, being devastated until they find another job, until they get back into the same cycle of complaining about that, you know, or not necessarily really, I guess, taking it for granted. And so, I mean, it goes down to even just having a breath, because, I mean, you would be very, in very big gratitude if you went to a point of near suffocation to get in some oxygen, you know. And so some of the most simple things we overlook in life that really, you know, really shows one of the things that Wynn really focuses on a lot when I hear him talking is just abundance. But I really do stay in that gratitude mode when I actually pray. Not in my adult life, I don't ask for things when I actually, quote, pray, unquote. And that's just not, that's not really for me the way that I actually, you know, things work for me. I just don't think that it works that way. That's just me. And I know that some people do feel like if you ask for it, it'll come. But I'm more or less about setting my mind to it, setting my heart to it, getting emotionally in tune with it, going towards that thing, believing that that thing will come to me, or believing that I have the ability to get that thing, and then just expressing gratitude for what I have. That's kind of how it works for me. Wynn, how about you, man? Practically, prayer, how does it work for you?
I'll get to that in just a second. I just really wanted to circle back to what Irv said. And he talked about worship and he talked about reverence. And that's precisely where I really wanted to go. Because worship and reverence is really an explicit acknowledgement, an outward acknowledgement that there's something that's greater than us. And there's no doubt that there is something, and it doesn't matter what you call it, but there's something that is, in fact, greater than us. And there's something that has created all of what we see, what we experience. And we first have to begin to acknowledge that. The second thing is that I would have people consider that we weren't born to lose. Like, what would be the purpose of us being born to lose? There's no scriptural doctrine, whether it's Judaism, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Islam, that has a human being be in a deficient place. It's not scripturally sound that we were born to be losers. In fact, if you read those scriptures, then you'll actually notice that we were actually born to win, born to succeed, born to grow and develop, born to expand, born to be, to have rich experiences. And so there's no necessity for any begging. There's no necessity for fear. There's no necessity for any feeling, any bad feelings. And so in the eyes of that, you would be more powerful to celebrate and to appreciate that entity or life, whatever you call it, as opposed to, again, being in an inferior place. And so how I look at it for myself is being thankful, as you said, Water, being grateful for everything that I have, everything that I've experienced. It's made me who I am, right? You know, we here in America, we enjoy modern-day plumbing. We enjoy modern-day heat and air. We enjoy warmth in the winter and heat and coolness in the summertime. We enjoy Toyotas and Lexuses and Range Rovers. We enjoy Prada and Gucci. We enjoy beautiful homes. We enjoy being able to fly anywhere we want to fly. We enjoy cruise ships. We enjoy family and friends. We enjoy good food. We enjoy running water. And so what's more powerful is that worship, is that reverence, is that thankfulness, that gratitude, that appreciation on a consistent basis. And if we remember that and actually implement that in our lives, then we'll actually have those things that we really want, because it actually makes you feel good. So just practically, when I wake up in the morning, I remember all the, I wouldn't say all the good things, but I just remind myself of a lot of good things that I ought to appreciate before I go to work. When I take a shower, I thank God that I have, that I'm able to be clean every morning, that I have soap and water, I have clothes. I thank God every morning that I have powerful water. I have warm water and cold water mixed together perfectly to for my skin. I'm thankful for deodorant and toothpaste and toothbrush. I'm thankful for a floss. All these things that make our lives so much easier, so much more efficient, and allow us to be effective in our lives. Those are the things that we often neglect. There's so much to be thankful for and so much to be appreciative. And again, it's those little things that we discount every day that if we remember that, worship and reverence is remembrance and appreciation for the entity that created it all. And once you get in the space of that, you begin to feel good about your life. You feel better about your life. It allows you to let go of yesterday, or allows you to let go of any negativity that you're holding on to. If you begin to put yourself in that sphere of appreciation, you're capable of moving forward powerfully, knowing that your day is going to be fine, knowing that everything is going to be okay. And I'll just stop right there for now.
Yeah, this is Earth. And this is actually a good topic for today's show. Because as you were speaking, you know, I was thinking about myself, and actually I was thinking about the three of us and our view as it relates to, so based on what we've expressed so far as it relates to prayer and the differences. And I know for me, you know, my view is that there's nothing that I do during the course of the day that does not involve spirituality at all, just by the mere fact that I'm a spiritual being. So there's nothing I can do that does not involve that during the course of a day, and actually during the course of my life. And just the expression of that for me comes directly from acknowledging who I am. And acknowledging who I am, being, you know, connected or being intimately connected to who I am. Being, for me, it's being intimately connected and having a relationship with, you know, my ancestors, being intimately connected and having a relationship with, even down to what, you know, you would classify as my ancestors and the gods of my ancestors, or the Wunana of my ancestors, and just having that connection, or having that intimate relationship, and having that same intimate relationship and connection, you know, with nature itself, because I am nature. I am a part of nature. I'm a part of the universe. There's no distinction for me between which, there's no distinction that separates me or that pulls me out of nature, that pulls me out of the realm or the spiritual realm that exists within nature. I'm a part of it all. So when I see myself, I actually see myself, A, as a spiritual being, and B, there's nothing that I do that's not spiritual. So for me, anything that I need, anything that I want, anything that I request, I know where to go to get it. I know how to get it. And then always, you know, acknowledging and giving reverence to my ancestors, to spirit, which some people can classify it as God or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, when I give reverence to those things, it's just what I do, and it actually means for me that the connection is even more so fortified, because within nature itself and the universe operates off of reciprocity. So it's a give and take. So if I take something from nature, from the universe or whatever, then there's something that I need to give back. You know, and so if I take something from either one of you, whether it's wind or water, then that's something I need to give back if I take something. So it's always a reciprocity, and for me that just creates balance, and it creates balance in my life. So generally, I would say 99.9% of the time, whatever I need, it's always provided for me. So that's what I wanted to add. What you got over the water?
No, man, just when I heard you, well, I guess first off, you know, before I even chime in, we do have a caller in the queue, so I'd like to defer so that the caller can actually have their say in the matter, as well as anyone else who's out there listening. If you just press 1, then you'll actually pop up in our queue, and we'll see that you either have a question or a comment. We can bring you on the show live. You can interact with us and, you know, help us make this show, you know, just interactive, because, like we always say, we're doing this for you guys, not for ourselves. So, guys, you ready to bring the caller on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yep.
Call the last 4 digits, 4677. Last 4 digits, 4677. You're live. State your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for the conversation this evening. I just wanted to offer a prayer. This is Amira.
Welcome, Amira.
Hey, Amira.
Hey, Amira.
Hi. I just wanted to offer a prayer, and it may not sound like a prayer of gratitude, but I just wanted to demonstrate how I pray, and so would you allow me to do so?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, usually when I pray, I have a instrument that I use, so you might hear a little instrument in the background, so I'm just going to do that gently. Oh, great creator of all things, it is you who established the system whereby I can call on my ancestors to guide me. I thank you for my life, my health, and my strength. I call in those who have gone before me, my beloved grandmother, grandfather, great-grandfather, and all the members of my clan, and all those who I do not know but are willing to assist me now. It is in a time of crisis that I come to you now. Hear me, O ancestors. With my brothers and sisters, I stand before you. What burdens, pain it is that we suffer. Our eyes are veiled, ancestors. We cannot see the path before us. Our limbs are weak and frail. We cannot stand firmly on solid ground. Our hands tremble and shake. We cannot grasp the sustenance we need to survive. Adversity arises with every step. Doors are blocked at every turn. Scarcity drains the life force from our veins. Remember your sons and daughters, ancestors, you who walked this earth before us, you who know the paths, the roadways, and the byways, that can lead to abundance and strength. You who know the oceans, the rivers, and the streams that can bring peace of mind and clarity. You who know the Wedame and the Contemplé that can heal and guide us to wholeness and sanity. You who know the rocks and the bones of the earth that can restore our memory and renew our purpose. We bring our burdens to you, to the flames of this great ancestral fire, filled with the aches and pains of our minds and bodies, filled with the shadows of dreams we have lost, filled with broken promises and false hopes, filled with the weapons of our enemies who rise up against us, filled with the wounds and scars we have endured on the battlefield of life. Oh, ancestors, please take these symbols of our burdens and hurdles and render them to ashes in this great ancestral fire. Consume them, transform them, so that out of the ashes our connection with you will be reaffirmed. New doors will be opened where they were once closed. Strength will be returned where we were once weakened. Enemies will be wiped out where they were once prevailed against us. Health will be restored where sickness once gnawed at our flesh. And peace will reign where fear and uncertainty once ruled our hearts. And so, ancestors, we will arise from the heat of this great ancestral joy in our hearts, because today is the day you will not fail us. Today is the day you will not abandon us. Today is the day that you prove to us that we do not call on you in vain. And to that I say, Ashe, Ashe, Asheo. Thank you.
Ashe. So, Amir, can you, for the listeners, can you actually talk about that particular style of praying, and why is that a style or method of praying that you chose, and what is it for our listeners who don't know?
Okay. So in my style of praying, I acknowledge that there are people that have gone before me who no longer exist in the flesh. They exist in a realm that is in the so-called spiritual realm, so-called spiritual world. They do not exist in the flesh. Doesn't mean that they are dead and gone and forgotten. And in fact, what it means is that they're more present because they have further vision than I have. And they also understand what it means to walk in this earth at this time, because they walked in this earth at this time. So they understand the experiences of being earthbound, because in my worldview, we all came here out of the spiritual realm with a contract to do something. So we're merely existing in a physical form, but we have a connection to a realm that is still very much alive and very much kicking. So in other words, we have an entourage of people who are standing beside us, aiding us and guiding us, because they have more expansive vision than we have in a fleshly body. So I call on them because they're the closest to me in terms of recognition and acknowledgement. And I call on them because they are readily available and accessible. And they have connections because it's like, you know, how you might go to a place or, you know, a process or a program, and you want to know that there's a friend there that you can hit up because they might have a connection that can make it easier for you to get into this thing that you're looking to get into. So you kind of make connections. It's networking, right? And so you're networking with people who you know, because it makes it much easier for you to get to where you want to go or do what you want to do, because you don't have to do it from a cold, blank standpoint. So I'm networking with some people, and those people are my people that have been connected to my bloodline. So So when I network with these people, I know that they know other people. And they know other people, or I shouldn't say other people, they know other beings that exist in other realms that they can call in and say, okay, here goes my granddaughter or my daughter, and she's asking for something, or she needs something, or she's whatever, acknowledging me in some way, shape, or form, and you are good at this. So I know how to make the connection with you because she doesn't know you. So I'm going to make the connection and connect you two together. So I know that when I go to my people, they're going to reach out to all the people that they know, and the help that I need and the support that I need is going to come to me. So I don't have to work so hard. So see, when I go to the great creator, I feel like I have to go through so many layers to get to the creator. But I have some peeps, and so those peeps can get to some other peeps who the creator has put in place to help me, so that way I don't have to work too hard. I don't have to know all of them. I don't have to go knocking at all of their doors, but my peeps can talk to them. So it's the way that I pray in which I first go to the people who are most closely connected to me, who have my back and who are aligned with me, and they know what I want already. So I'm just basically saying, make the connection so that it makes my life easier. That's the style of prayer.
And so just for the listeners, like what tradition is that out of?
This is our African spiritual tradition. This is how our ancestors walked this earth before we had dominant religion, where they knew that the people that were connected to them in this earth, on this life, on this earthly plane, are still connected to them even though they don't see them in flesh and blood. So the chain of ancestral connection is still alive, and therefore they know that they have a source of help that is familiar and immediate and is always there for them. So this is the way that our African people, indigenous people, and it's not just African, Native Americans, whatever, indigenous people, prayed prior to the dawn of Western religion.
I have a question. Did you make up that prayer yourself?
Yes, I did.
Okay. From the mechanics of your prayer, you acknowledged God initially. You said, "Oh, great one." We agree?
Ashe.
And before you prayed the prayer, you said you didn't know that this would be an expression of gratitude, but in your second frame, you actually expressed gratitude with thanks. You agree?
I always do that, yes.
And
I thought it was gratitude.
In the next frame, you actually beseeched and requested guidance and assistance. We agree?
Yes.
And so that is exactly what I'm talking about as far as the mechanics of what prayer ought to be. Not from a standpoint of being inferior or downtrodden. What I do have a question, though, about this. What is your current vantage point of life? Do you see it as difficult or negative at this point, right now?
That is a very beautiful question. That's a very beautiful question. That's a question that comes from a heart that is expansive. So my outlook of life is that it's neither good or bad. It's neither right or wrong. It's neither negative or positive. My outlook of life is that every one of us that came here for a reason and for a purpose. And we came here with an expectation that we had a mission to fulfill. What happens through the process of birth is that we forgot what that was. And as we were growing up without the elders and the teachers and the mentors to guide us, we went through life challenged by with the forgetfulness of the reason why we were here. So most of our prayers come from that vantage point of forgetfulness. We feel disadvantaged because we're working with the unknown, but we really know it. So life is not good or bad. The experiences that we have come from a place where we don't remember. And forgetfulness is a very painful experience. It's a very painful and arduous experience. So we are constantly in fear because we are feeling disadvantaged by our lack of memory. So we go through life trying to remember. And in our remembering, we encounter many what seemingly roadblocks or obstacles because of the fact that we don't have the clear guidelines or the manual or the book that says this is why you came. So it's not good or bad. It's basically us trying to remember why we're here. And in that remembering process, we often have unknown roads that we have to traverse because we don't have the memory of why we walked down in the first place. So, for example, I grew up challenged as a young person, and it would seem like a difficult life because I was comparing it to the greater collective memory of the society I was living in. But as I look back, I realize that that was a contract I made when I came here to walk this path in that way. But it wasn't difficult at all. It was forming me and shaping me so that I could deliver what I came here to deliver. Does that address your question?
Absolutely. And that old great one that you addressed, what do you perceive that he or she may want for you ultimately and or has for you ultimately?
Okay, wow, you're challenging me here. Okay. So the great one is not he or she. It is androgynous. It's he and she, the father, mother, the duality of existence, the male, female, the yin yang. So I call him the great one because that's a word or a title that encapsulates the creation, which is the duality of existence, male, female. What he, she, it, they want for me is to remember my contracts, and I can't share that with you right now, but to remember my contract that I agreed to in order to come back, to return back into this fleshly form. And it took me several years, many decades, I must say, to remember that contract, which I don't wish to speak to at this moment. But once I remember that purpose and definition for my life, my goal then is to fulfill and walk that contract so that I can deliver what I came here to deliver and go back and report to them and say, hey, I did it. What other assignment do you have for me to come back some other time?
So that contract is essentially alignment and perfection. In accordance to the original creation. Is that accurate?
Did you say perfection? Could you repeat
yes.
that?
Would you characterize that the fulfillment of that contract would be analogous or synonymous with alignment or perfection with the origin of your creation and the origin of the old great one's creation intent?
I'm going to try to understand what you're saying because the word perfection throws me off. So let me first just say that the word perfection is a bit challenging because
Throw the perfection out. Completion.
Completion. Okay, I like that. Okay, completion. Just give me a moment.
Take your time.
So the Earth existed for many millennia before me, and I believe will exist for many more millennia after me. So is there such a thing as completion? I don't think I have a sense of that word in terms of, is this the finality? Because that's what the word completion feels to me. Is it finality of my existence here? I don't get a sense of that. Not in the sense of the Eastern tradition that says we go through a cycle of reincarnation until we reach nirvana. That may be so. I've not gotten that download yet. So right now, for me, my current existence is a completion of the task
Correct.
That I'm here to do in this lifetime. So whether it takes me decades, my whole lifetime, whether it takes me a year or whatever, I chose a task, I agreed to a task, and I came here to complete a task. Now, is it a totality of all of everything that my soul was incarnated to do? I can't speak to that because I've lived many lifetimes before that I can feel in my body, and I feel that I may live several lifetimes after that. So I don't know if the word completion is an accurate way to describe what I feel, because I don't know if the needs of the earth can be completed in one generation or two or three. So I may have to do this, come back with another task to do something else again. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And when I use the word completion or perfection, it doesn't mean that it's the the outermost result. It means that, again, like you alluded to, is that that particular task is done. Not saying that you have some other, that there are not other tasks to be completed. So there's always something else to do, right?
There's always something else to do, if you notice. And I just want to end by saying that when we think about prayer, that most of the time we pray in a way that we do in our Western context because we believe in the finality of life. So we're supplicating the Creator in a way that says, I have no other roads to walk, so this road that I'm walking right now is so monumentous that if I don't get help, it's the end of the road for me. So I just wanted to extend to your listeners that if we begin to think, just think, and I always say to people, you don't have to prove me right. You don't have to believe me. You just have to try it and see if we develop a framework that says this is one of the roads that we're walking and how do we converse with the Creator when we know this is just one of the roads that we're walking. Maybe our dialogue in our prayers will change in that way.
Do you believe that, oh great one, and your ancestors want you to live a rich and healthy life?
Absolutely. I can't do what I can do without a rich and healthy life, but it requires definition of rich and healthy. So if I just back up for a minute and say, what is rich? Are you talking material richness? Because I don't have that. But I'm absolutely rich. Healthy? Physically healthy? Yes, I'm physically healthy. I have no ailments. I have no medications. I have nothing. But does that mean that somebody who's in a wheelchair or somebody who's in a bed is not healthy? Because we are thinking that the physical body is a manifestation of what perfection is. So if a person's body is not physically capable of functioning in the way that we think it should function, and they're not healthy, they could have a very healthy mind and a very healthy spirit that's continuing to work. So I think these words we use, we really have to redefine them in the context of why we came here. I could have come here and I could have been given a terminal illness, for all I know, that I would have to struggle with in the physical realm. But is healthy defined by the Western material concept of healthy? So we strive. Don't even let me go into that, because that's a whole other topic. If you want to talk about that, that's a whole other topic altogether. Because we in our world, because we're so empty and so void of spirituality, we latch on to so many things. We have these health movements and these environmental movements and all these other movements that we latch on to because of the void that's inside of us, because we truly don't understand who we are. But we have to hold on to something that gives us a sense of perfection, if you would. So healthy to me has varying degrees and has different meanings. Physically, I'm well. Mentally, I'm well. So I would beg to redefine those terms.
I understand. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you're indulging us tonight.
Thank you for the questions. I appreciate your indulging me. Have a wonderful evening, and thank you for the conversation.
Likewise. So, Elements, what do you guys think?
This is Earth. I'm in agreement with what Amira said. Because I, from an indigenous perspective, I take a look at not only what, you know, my ancestors were doing, but what were the ancestors of other people doing, and how did they live their lives? You know, what was their perspective on life, their perspective on prayer, their perspective on spirituality? I just take a look at that, and there is a consistency that exists across the board among people who, you know, are thousands of miles apart. There's a huge consistency that exists. And it wasn't about, as you mentioned earlier, when begging for something, pleading for something, being in a state where you're feeling that there's hopelessness and helplessness that exists for you. But just looking at it from, you know, the perspective of being clear about who I am or who our ancestors are. They were clear about who they are. They were clear about, like, why they even came here and what purpose that they actually serve. And when you're able to take your medicine or just live within your purpose, and you're able to provide that to a community, then that's where your fulfillment exists. And I argue that the need for you or for anyone to have that feeling of hopelessness or the feeling of, okay, this is the end of the road for me, you know, in this lifetime, after this life is over, it's a wrap. And that's how, you know, as we know, many people feel that way. Like, that doesn't exist when you're able to actually be a contribution to community. So, and then it ties into, for me, it ties into prayer, as you actually have prayers of thanks, and, you know, prayers of admiration, and prayers of, like, there's assistance that you may need around you accomplishing your purpose, but not really the begging and the pleading for a bill to be paid or for someone to buy some Christmas gifts for their children. Like, that need doesn't exist. Like, everything that you everything that you need to survive is just is provided for. You know, and it gets to a place where if you say, this is the beauty of it, if you say chair, then a chair should appear. I mean, I don't mean like you just sitting in the room and all of a sudden the chair just appears out of nowhere. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to like if you have a desire or need and you're just like, oh, I need a chair for whatever, you don't have to necessarily go into a place of like getting down and praying because you're actually connected to your purpose. You're connected to the universe in a very profound way and you'll be provided for in a way that's fulfilling, in a way that you desire based upon what you need, you know, in that moment or in a future moment. So that's just my two cents.
And I just want to add that, you know, getting back to Judeo-Christian, so for my Hebrews, for my Christians, for my Muslim brothers and sisters, you know, in none of those texts, well, in all of those texts, I would say that it's always been about the celebration and reverence of God. It's always been about the congregation of friends and family and having feasts and song and dance and really respecting and honoring God, really expressing gratitude and thanks that brought more promise. Because in all those texts, there was a promise. And the promise was an extraordinary life. In all those texts, there was grace and mercy and love. So there ought to be no bad feelings for anything, but always a remembrance and a gratefulness of what you have that will allow you to create a space for more. You know, David was one of the most egregious whoremongers in the Bible. They say that David was one of the most beloved of God because he expressed thanks. He revered God. He sang and dance for God. That's just one example from the scriptures. And so I just say that to let people know that there are those that I know that have a feeling of I know we got 1 minute and we'll get through it. But there's a feeling of conviction for what you've done. And there's no need to feel any conviction for anything that you've done. If David was graced, then why would not you? So I just want to leave you with that. So go ahead, guys, take us out.
This is Earth. I'd like to leave everybody with, you know, just thinking about, I hope we left you in a space where you think about I love what Amir said around, you know, your purpose. Because that, you know, when you're existing in your purpose, it actually transforms what alters your prayer to a degree in which it's unimaginable. And what I mean by it being unimaginable is it alters it into a space for those who actually beg, plead, and and consistently have to ask for things that actually don't are not in alignment with their purpose. They're not really in alignment with giving them, you know, the highest degree of fulfillment. Like, those things don't become a consideration anymore, because at that point you're focused on, you know, being about accomplishing what you've come into this lifetime to accomplish. Like, that's what your focus is. And then you can really begin to use the tools that are talked about, for instance, within like The Secret, or, you know, use the tools that are really talked about even from a biblical perspective, where, you know, God talks about, so as a man speaketh his future, you know, God will order his steps. So you really begin to step into that and to live that, because everything that you speak, everything that you do is really centered around your purpose. So the things that we're concerned about a lot of times, that we enjoy, that Wynn mentioned earlier in the show about, you know, we enjoy, you know, nice homes, and we enjoy running water, and we enjoy whatever else he named that we enjoy, those things actually become secondary, and in many cases even like tertiary, so like even down to a third level. They're not as important. They're things that exist, and we, you know, we can enjoy them, but they're not, they actually drop out of your conversation as being something that's substantial or something that's, you know, very meaningful as being able to accomplish, like getting some type of house, some type of car. Those things just begin to disappear when you do that, and your prayer actually alters completely. So I just want to leave everybody with that.
Yeah, and this is water. Just to me, I mean, it's really, I like brevity. So, you know, to me, it's all about just connection. Whatever way you do it, you just really, to me, prayer in general, I think a summation of what I've been hearing from everyone, including Mirror tonight and myself, is just, it's all about connecting to a higher power. If you don't believe in a higher power, then I guess it's about connecting with yourself. But at the end of the day, you know, that is, it's not just the words. And I think Amira, what she displayed was just beautiful. And if Amira was kind of a little too avant-garde for some of you, and she was, you know, like for some of you people who may, you know, you may be stuck in your religion and that's the only way that it is, maybe you could just look at the framework that she used, because it, like, Wynn did a great job of breaking down the framework that she provided to just show a way that you can actually include both the asking and the gratitude into a prayer. So I just want to leave everybody with that, as well as saying, next week, same time, same place, check us out on Facebook. We appreciate everyone for listening, tuning in every week, and we hope to see all of you same time next Sunday. And this is the Four Elements. We're out.
Be grateful.